101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 17th of October, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. I'm awaiting the arrival of Mr. Mark Palmer to join me in studio. I know there are a number of things he wanted to talk about today, including the Israeli-Hamas conflict, right? And in studio with me is Mr. Newry. He's not really joining me today, but I wonder if I could bait him into conversation with me around a couple of issues that I think should be discussed. One in particular, Hamas conflict. And I call it the I'm calling it the Israeli-Hamas conflict because of all the language that I've heard, I think I'm most comfortable with that one. I don't know if I like the language Israeli. In fact, I don't think I've seen Israeli-Palestine war, that language yet. But I have seen Israeli-Hamas conflict. And I think that's a most appropriate term. The first question I want to ask, I guess, is who makes the decision to go to war? Who gets to decide when it's wartime in this great grand global community? And another question I wanted to throw out to Mr. Palmer when he gets here is, who let Benjamin Netanyahu, of all people, declare war? Surely, Benjamin Netanyahu does not have the moral authority, legitimate political authority, and I would want to question the legal authority to declare war on Palestine. I say that because, as far as I could remember, Benjamin Netanyahu still has matters before the courts. The same courts whose authority he limited recently in a very unorthodox way, no pun intended. In fact, I question the validity of this quote-unquote war because I question the validity of Netanyahu's leadership. Surely Netanyahu didn't win the government outright. He could only form a government once he had created a coalition. And he created a coalition with some would say, the most unholy elements of politics in Israel. Some has gone as far as to say warmongers. And so, good morning, Mr. Palmer. I am good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm glad you're talking about this subject.
Yeah, I threw it on the table. I know you want
it. It's a subject dear to my heart. I mean, I've studied it. I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I've studied it for many years.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. I know that you are far more learned than I am on the subject. You have access, right, far more information than I have on the subject. But I come into the conversation with the point, I'm going to reiterate it.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave Benjamin Netanyahu the authority to declare war, given the circumstances of his rise to power in this most recent election. He wasn't outright elected the government. Like in the Bahamas, you could say, well, I mean, look at the splits, 7 seats to, you know, 29 seats, 24 seats. We know there's a clear winner. But Netanyahu had to form a coalition to be able to control the government. And I iterated, and perhaps you can balance my critique. I stated that those who he formed an alliance with are regarded as warmongers, unpeaceful people. And so I questioned right at the very beginning, not the right of the Israeli people to protect themselves in conflict or war, but the question is, can Netanyahu legitimately declare war on anybody, but in particular on Hamas? Has he declared war on Palestine? Or another question, can you call it a war if you are only targeting Hamas? And in the grand scheme of things, is this a legitimate war? Does Israel have the right to attack in this way? Now, I've put all these words on the table.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Right. And also, I expect critique. I expect people to engage with their perspective on the matter. I'm sure that we all don't agree on the matter or on new elements of the matter. But I think it's something to be discussed. I think it's something that Bahamians are already talking about because we have this perception of ourselves as members of the family of Israel.
I mean, it's really interesting, you know, how this whole thing is framed. I mean, let me start by talking about normalcy bias, okay? Because we suffer from a normalcy bias. We think wars just happen, like some kind of evolutionary social event. They have no perception that these things are potentially premeditated, right? We know Wesley Clark had a list of every country that the U.S. was going to invade. The only one they haven't invaded is Iran on that list. That was back from 1990. Yeah. So we know there's an intention at a certain level to do certain things. So the normalcy bias says, you know, oh, well, these things just kind of happen. And when the conspiracy theorists come along, they look at anomalies. So when there's something happens and things don't add up, say you have one or two anomalies, you'll say, okay, I can go with that. But then when you have a whole lot of anomalies coming in place, so let's go back to Maui, Lahaina. The water was cut off. There were no alarms sounded. The police blocked people from exiting that area. There's too many things that happen that
just don't seem...
It doesn't seem right. You know? So you have to dig further and have a look, dig deeper, and not just accept these things just happen. Now, Israel is a very sad case, that whole history. It tends to just portray it as one-sided. So so a lot is left out. So you never hear the O word, the occupation.
Right, of Hawaii.
Well, no, I'm talking about Israel, Palestine, and the West Bank.
Right, but I'm going to take it back now, right? So an example you used was Hawaii. The citizens of Hawaii don't regard themselves as the 51st state or the 50th state of the U.S. They regard themselves as an occupied territory.
Yeah, and they have every right to look at it from that perspective, the indigenous Hawaiians. Yeah,
I'm going to take it a step closer to us and look at Haiti just for a moment. In the same example, we don't use the O word with Haiti either. We don't perceive Haiti as being occupied by foreign elements.
They're assisted.
Right. And thus we don't read their protest as protest of an occupation. We just read their protest as unruly people that don't want any assistance.
Yeah.
Like you just drawing that normalcy bias back closer to home.
So the way it's framed at the moment that You know, you've got these terrorists launching attacks against Israel, and Israel has a right to defend its borders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first question you have to ask, what borders are you talking about? Are you talking about the 1967 borders that were approved at the UN, or are you talking about the illegal borders of the West Bank, you know, the
right.
occupation of the West Bank and the blockade of Gaza? So what is it? You know, and when you dig into those sort of questions, and they're never really covered by the media.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back 75 years, there was an event called the Nakba. Most people probably haven't even heard of it, where 800,000 Palestinians were driven out of Israel,
mm-hmm.
or the out of Palestine or the state of Israel, which way we want to call it, because I think it was it became Israel in 1948
mm-hmm.
officially. But 800,000 Palestinians were driven out. The descendants of those Palestinians number about 6 million, and
mm-hmm.
they're living mostly in the border countries, a lot of them in refugee camps. They want to come back to their country. They want to get their property.
Mm-hmm.
All the orange groves in Jaffa was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
All that prime property. We know from Operation Dalit, which was for 4 years, the Israelis looked at all the key areas that they wanted, the best water, the best land, and then they went and took it. So it is actually a land grab if you look at it from that perspective. So that's never really discussed. Now, when an occupied or blockaded people rise up against that oppression,
mm-hmm.
where they don't have water,
mm-hmm.
they don't have electricity, they have their calories are counted, and only so much food is allowed into Gaza to keep them. At some point, they're going to fester, right?
Mm-hmm.
They voted in Hamas, however we would call them, by election. They had international observers there who
mm-hmm.
declared the election valid.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were desperate. And then we look back, who created Hamas? It was Israel. Who funded Hamas, even up to 2019, the Israelis?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they created Hamas was to destabilize Yasser Arafat's Fatah party, the PLO.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't want this secular group to gain more power, so they created and funded Hamas, which is an extremist religious group,
mm-hmm.
to split the Palestinians and keep them weak. Now, that's all come back
yeah.
to roost now because they funded this group.
Let's stick a pin
yeah.
just for a second.
Yeah.
I just want to say, because as you talk, I am just seeing Haiti in my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing similar paradigms. Possibly, right? Like, I'm asking myself, are these the same things that happened or are happening in Haiti?
I think that would be too strong a parallel, because if you you don't have a military force occupying Haiti, they don't have walls built with automatic machine guns.
So what about the UN program? What about the UN peace, the NATO and UN peacekeeping troops, right? What about
yeah.
their presence in Haiti? And even though they weren't a quote-unquote mm-hmm. military army, surely they were perceived to be.
I think you have to look at it on a scale.
Okay.
You know, they're
yeah.
somewhere on that scale, but at the bottom end of it.
Right. Not.
But it could get worse, you know,
yeah.
because the situation there is pretty dire. When you look at the Israeli situation, you're looking at the right hand, you know, very close to the other end of the scale.
Okay.
And of course, the media will never talk about the occupation or the legal annexation of land. And, you know, and I think it's very true. What's so worrying about it is, you know, if you look at that normalcy bias, you think, oh, you know, somehow Hamas just came in,
mm-hmm.
managed to kill 1,000, which was such an extraordinary event that all, you know, if you look at the Gazans, they are the most watched people in the world, more than any Chinese person. They have drones going over, they have satellites, all the communication is. And so how would something like that possibly happen when you look at what they had mm-hmm. to breach to get out
yeah.
and the fact that the Egyptians and the U.S. were warned that something was happening is completely ignored.
Yeah.
And the troops were moved to so anyway,
yeah.
there's a lot
to unpack. Stick a pin
yeah.
because we're going to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the caller and
yeah.
then I want to go to the text. Good morning, caller.
Mark, good
morning,
Aaron, good morning, Bama.
Hi, he's coming right now. How you do?
Oh, I heard him a minute ago. Okay.
Yeah, he's right here. He's just putting on
yeah,
the headphones.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Okay, I hear him now. I support Israel because of my biblical practice, God chose a nation, and I see that Israel has a right to defend themselves. Matter what the biasness you hear it in the media, Prime Minister Benjamin has a right and to protect his country. You also wonder, you talk about how organized they is, and each of their population, military trained. From Ray Palma?
In Israel, they have a national service, and from you become a man, from you have your bar mitzvah, I think you join the service, your bar and your bat mitzvahs,
right.
And you serve as a reserve or in the military.
That's right.
Throughout your life until you hit what we call retirement age. Thank you.
And that's what we need to look at. But also, the image and the world got to watch Iran. Iran is blue and Gaza.
I got you. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pumpkin Eater. I see we got another caller coming in. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
So what was interesting, there's a group of Orthodox Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally against the Zionist experiment.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to an Orthodox Jew, they worship the Talmud, which are, the Jewish texts.
Yeah.
And they say quite categorically that what is going on is wrong.
And so,
while I hear Pumpkin Eater,
there
are also Jews that are very much against what
is the state
of Israel,
right,
as it is.
And I'm not questioning Israel's right to defend itself. No. I'm questioning the legitimacy of Netanyahu's leadership and government. And do they have the moral authority to declare war? I'm sorry, caller, call right back. I want to get to these texts. I've been saying this forever. Producer, take the call. I've been saying this forever, how Netanyahu get elected. Call and then I get back to the text. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you and good morning to Dr. Palmer.
morning.
You know, let's go back to 1025 BC when David, a Jew, killed Goliath, Philistine.
Mm-hmm.
These people were doing this before 1020-something BC.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears as though that David had some help because he had somebody on his side who seemed to be high up in the skies.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's no way somebody, a giant, you can take one stone and put me to sleep and then cut my head off and take it back.
Unless you knew science.
Unless you knew science.
Yeah.
Girl, I love you. No, but seriously, when you really think about it, the territory all up in the Middle East there, Jesus walked in that area. He also went to India, and you all don't have any record of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indians adopted him. His people, them Jews, rejected him.
Mm.
So as a result, they will be in eternal hell.
Well, okay.
Now, that's my opinion. So that, because when you reject your first opportunity, you got to really realize what's coming next is domination. And, it's similar to what's going on in Haiti. Haiti only learns now to rule through military force. The only way you control the people out in the Middle East, and you look here, be careful, watch our borders, want to kill the Israelites. They want to wipe off everybody else on this planet who's not one of them. Watch our borders.
Thank you, sir.
Wake up, folks.
Thank you, caller. I'm going to get to some texts, a lot of texts coming in. Why are we worrying about who gave who the power to declare war? We have no say in their country. Stay in your lane. And since you want to know, the Knesset approved the amendment 62-41, allowing the PM to declare war in extreme circumstances after consulting his defense minister. Again, I'm questioning not the authority of the Israeli people to defend themselves, like through their constitution, but the legitimacy of Netanyahu's leadership and government, and what lies beneath that is, would a coalition formed of different elements, right? Is this a result of the mindset of the coalition that he formed? Because he would not have been able to attain a government if he had not formed a coalition. And that's really my position there. A couple more texts. Good day. Benjamin Netanyahu is the leader of the nation, however, it doesn't matter. However he did it, it doesn't matter. He is in charge and can make decisions in conjunction with the government he puts in place. He is obligated to protect his people. If Trinidad attacked us today and Brave didn't declare war, for sure, he would not be real. Yahoo's leadership validity is a straw man argument and fallacious. So stick a pin just for a second and get back to you, Mark. I wanted to throw this in after our last caller, who took us back, who said, listen, you have to know history to understand the relationship, which made me think of two sets of people, Sarah and Hagar. Is it Jacob and Esau, Mr. Newry? You know, use my Bible man. Which one would mother tell him, look here, we can do this thing and we can trick the boy because the birthright really belonged to you?
And that's Esau and Jacob.
Right, because when the guy said that David had must have had a higher power.
And that was Rebecca and...
Right, I wonder if he meant his mummy, because wasn't it, whose mummy tell him, but look here, we can do this thing because the birthright should be yours.
Yes.
And not the other brothers.
I understand.
So because we're talking about the legitimacy and the validity of the government, right? Does it matter if they use trickery to attain the birthright? Sarah and Hagar and Jacob. I know they're two different stories and a massive amount of time between them. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I understand the history. But these are two points in time where, from the biblical perspective, the two nations buck up against each other,
mm-hmm.
right? Sarah and Hagar. Sarah is Israel. Hagar is Arabic people,
mm-hmm.
right? Who's it? Is it Abraham who had the wives? Is it the Abraham wives, right?
Yes, Abraham.
Right. Hagar was the first wife. Ain't bear no children, right?
Hagar was the woman they brought into the marriage.
Ah,
they had an entanglement.
So the question of the validity of Netanyahu, let's go back thousands of years and ask ourselves about the validity of the determination of who should rule. Because we got these two nations bucking up against each other from way back then. And the question is, was the trickery, are you all telling me the trickery was ordained by God and thus it's okay?
There you go. That's the conclusion.
Yeah.
God wanted just like this. All these wars.
Right, but I'm saying if God wanted it like that, why didn't God just make it like that?
Like entertainment.
See, because I tell the people, when you all make me prime minister, I can be a jealous God. I like entertainment too.
I see you're getting excited now, Aaron. But can we bring this back down to can we bring it back to reality?
Are in the reality of Bahamians.
No, I understand, but let's look at history. You know, you talk about history didn't start in 2023.
Right.
Let me just put out a few salient facts. Throw them out to balance the debate.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what we're getting from the mainstream media is just one sided. So multiple United Nations General Assembly resolutions have decided the continuing occupation is illegal. Occupies the eastern part of Ukraine, that is illegal, right? But there is an illegal occupation going in the country where the problems are having. The general thrust of international law, scholarship addressing the question, has concluded that regardless of whether it was initially legal, the occupation has become illegal over time.
Right, okay.
That's a fact. Now, we also know in 1967, a war broke out between Israel, Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. Remember, that mm-hmm. was, I think it was called the Six-Day War.
Mm-hmm.
Israel at that time grabbed Gaza. Now, Gaza is also quite strategic because it has a lot of proven oil reserves off in that bay just outside of Gaza. And they held it for nearly 40 years when they finally moved out, but mm-hmm. then they blockaded it. Now, at the occupying power, Israel has a clear obligation under international law, because you have to always go back to law. You know, you're talking about the validity of law
mm-hmm.
to ensure the basic needs of Gaza's civilian population are met. Don't quote me. This is the head of Amnesty International saying that's from international law. There's a Geneva Convention, which we're all familiar with, right? Mm-hmm. 1949. United Nations General Assembly resolution. There was a resolution 3236 in 1949, which reaffirms the inalienable right of the Palestinians to return to their homes and property from which they have been displaced and uprooted, and calls for their return.
Mm-hmm.
But these resolutions have been vetoed at every point by, I won't say who. But so we have an illegal occupation going on. There's an obligation to protect that population, not to cut off their water, not mm-hmm. to do those various things. We also know that there are over 100 illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank, over 450,000 illegal Israelis or Jewish Israelis of Jewish descent live in these areas.
Right. Let me just make a point, because the people themselves are not illegal, but their presence
is illegal.
Is illegal. Correct. Right.
And so how Israel gets its land grab, and this is a very clever trick, they get these extremely, you know, you talked about a right-wing Likud government. Well, they get these extreme settlers, usually from the Soviet Union, who go in. They go into these occupied territories. They burn the olive groves while the IDF are watching and smiling. And they create a lot of tension, at which point the Israelis have to set up a checkpoint. And once that checkpoint, a settlement eventually comes into being. And so we have over 110 of those now. These are all illegal. Now, how are you going, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. How are you going to get peace when you have this incredible negotiation chip that you've got all these, and there's another 200,000, 25,000 Israeli sites, which is illegally occupied in Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. So Jordan is being illegally occupied. Now, if the Russians did that in Ukraine, that's illegal. And, you know, they get hell to pay in our media. But if a friend of the Western media does this, it seems to be okay, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's, for half a century, Israel's occupation of the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, which is one of the holiest sites. You know, Muslims can't even go to the Rock, I think, the Alaska Mosque, to, they're, you know, stopped from actually worshiping in their mosques, has resulted in systemic human rights abuses. And we know that. If you look at what B'Tselem says, and others, so I'm just throwing a few things out there which to balance the argument, because there are clearly grievances on both sides, particularly grievances, you know, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of Arabs, you know, sympathize with the plight of the Palestinians. There's nothing really they can do.
Yeah.
Because if they get involved, they're going to feel some serious heat, right?
Yeah.
And so the danger is now, we're now in a very dangerous situation, because Hezbollah has indicated, this is Iranian-funded militias, extreme Islamic, just like Hamas, but, you know, they have indicated that they will come in from the north. If that happens, all hands are, you know, all cards are off the table.
Yeah.
And we could have an incredible situation. So, another thing, the leadership of Hamas live in Qatar.
They don't live in the zone that they are sending the directives to?
And the Qataris are harboring leaders.
Is Qatar the Switzerland of the Middle East?
Well, I'm not sure. So it's kind of
UAE. Yeah.
Do you remember at 9/11 when those Saudis flew those planes into the blocks? Like the overwhelming amount, 90% were Saudis. But then we invaded.
Turn down your radio caller. Absolutely.
Then we invaded Iraq. So this is the same thing. It's very peculiar, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's go to the caller, and then we're going to get to some texts. I see your text. Good morning, caller.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning to your guests.
Morning.
Good morning.
And so, in listening to Mr. Mark Farmovich, I enjoy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a little boy going to school, my father would have the radio on. And, you know, I'm 59. And so I'm realizing that every day, for years, there was always a conflict between Israel and Syria in the Golan Heights. I remember that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at this construct and this conflict that really and truly the world sat by and let this really, they should have gotten rid of this problem and solved this problem decades ago. But I think the international community, I don't know, it's really complex because they had allowed this to go on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even the narratives, I agree with Mr. Palmer as far as the Western bias, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, even when we look at Afghanistan, when we look at the Abrahamic chart, right, that I was trying to explain to someone on the high school chart, right? Abraham had eight sons. And so you mentioned Hajar, which would be the mother of Ishmael, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would be the founder, which would be the great-great-great-great-great-great of Muhammad. So this is where the Islam nation started in the desert, because that's where they casted them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham was a Hebrew. And then we look at the narrative of Semite, anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
They are using that out of context because it's basically a language, Arabic, Aramaic, and Hebrew. So it's a language. So what you mean by anti-Semitic? By then, people, if you're knowledgeable, you know that that's a false narrative they're sending. It's anti-Semitic, even if you're against the Palestinians. What I'm saying, in other words, when you look at the Abrahamic chart, I can call up the eight sons right now, but basically the Bible only speaks about Ishmael and Isaac. mm-hmm. then you have all of these people are one. You see, they look alike. You can mm-hmm. tell the difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, like when they speak, I could listen to their accent and know if it's Palestinian or Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
But remember now, this is a construct because the Europeans are defined a way to keep their influence in this area. And you notice how quick Mr. Mark Palmer, America had their warships there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this obviously is something bigger than this. I honestly believe it was started for a reason. I don't know if to keep their presence in North Africa or to impede trade through the Suez Canal, but there's some geopolitic ticking going on here that most people, you know, you have to conceive this. And though this is not a small, this is going to affect. I see Qatar is now threatening to stop fuel production or shipping fuel. Mm-hmm. You know, so sorry for the obese people who can't walk from here to there and ride a bicycle. I don't have a problem, whatever they do. But we have to understand this is an apocalyptic revelation time now.
Mm-hmm.
So look for everything to be revealed. But I'm not angry at Israel for trying to protect themselves, but what I am angry about is the intrusion into Gaza. And mm-hmm. this is what they want. And so they say they give the civilians time to evacuate and do this and do that. But it's an overexertion of force. And I think eventually, I don't know if Egypt or other countries would get in it, but this is what they're looking for. And it's for some reason, it seems to be like they want to catalyze war. America's always into war. They're the war machine, the world police. Mm-hmm. And it's not looking good for them. And so we must realize that war is designed to make money mm-hmm. and to induce suffering. So to me, Israel is over-intruding. And then let's give you the whole biblical chronology here. And so even when you look at the Bible, Moses was not from Judah. Moses is a Levi. He's descended from Levi. Moses, Aaron, all these people came from Levi. They were Levites.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Bless up.
Thank you, 52.
So what he actually said is that some very valid point. Why is this happening, right? So one of the things, why is it happening? Because just a few months ago, if you remember, in the media,
mm-hmm.
there was massive protests against Netanyahu because he was changing the court system, giving himself more powers.
In fact, I'd say that there were hundreds of thousands of people in the streets yep. immediately
Absolutely.
Prior to this attack. I got to go to a break.
Okay.
Caller, hold the line, please. If you can't hold, hang up and call back. You know, let the producer know if you're on a cell phone and he'll buzz me. We got to go to a break. When we get back from the break, the caller, more Mr. Palmer, this very interesting conversation. And Mr. Palmer did tons of texts here.
I bet, yeah.
And we'll give you an opportunity to respond
sure.
to what they're saying as well.
Sure.
We'll be right back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Mr. Mark Palmer.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do join you in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know, Junior, you don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime, they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
It's the Battle of the Bra, sponsored by Canoe, and you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as you want. You can even vote for all three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Glad you kept it there. Good morning. Good morning, caller. You still there? Two? Okay, we missed that caller.
So going back to the anomalies, remember we talked about, you know, if you're the normalcy bias, most people think they just these things just happen.
Yeah.
So when you look at just prior to this war, you had the most unpopular Israeli president,
yeah.
You know, and just like, you know, Bush was the most unpopular president, and then 9/11 happened, he took America into war, and he became the most popular. So we know that is a modus operandi, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, the Israeli public, blame the government. I think 87% of them blame the government for, and they've had so far four different explanations for why these Hamas terrorists were able to get through. Four different explanations, and now they're saying they're not going to discuss it till after the war is over.
Is this the Bahamian government in Israel?
So you know,
see why we're having the conversation?
So now you see why they're conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
So then, on the other hand, these guys get through the most surveilled country on earth. Not only does Egypt provide Israel with intelligence a week before that something big was going to happen, 2 days before, they also supplied it to the U.S. And nobody did anything. It just seems too incredible for words, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
We can get back to that. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin Green.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good, good.
And good morning to you, yeah.
Good morning.
Wonderful. Now, see, I read the St. John's College, right? I'm a Green, 52.
Yeah.
Now, 52, must he used to stay in the library with Mr. Walmering, Mr. and Mrs. Walmering, because 52 is extremely well read, so I can't opine. Like 52, my school mate, right? Nor can I opine like your guest, so I can keep it simple because I was more hands-on. I used to play with two Israeli kids, me and my brother, on Paradise Island. Their mother was an Israeli. She had some stores over there. Very, very nice people, very wealthy people. Every summer we used to go over there and play with them. And I find those Israelis to be very nice. I find them to be very firm. And very, very, very aggressive towards things. Now, to keep it simple, like 52 say, in biblical terms, the land, the Israeli land, was promised to God's chosen people, which were the Israeli people, by the Creator, if you believe in that. So that's the reason why when the Israelis were scattered all over the place, when they were run off that land, they came back to inherit, like they say, their initial land that was given to them. I sympathize with everybody. I think everybody should learn how to coexist on this planet, no matter who and what you are. But I want one thing people forget. The Israelis were so oppressed in biblical scriptures when they were first mentioned. Almighty for a deliverer. You know who that deliverer was? Samson.
Yeah.
Samson was an Israeli. And a lot of people forgetting that those Israelis were oppressed through many, many hundreds of years. And they had to grow to do that. Samson had to beat half of them Palestinians with the jawbone of a donkey.
I think Samson was a Jew. And I'm not sure it was Palestinian.
Because Delilah was a Palestinian.
No, she was not a Palestinian.
What was she?
She was, what do you call those?
Delilah was a Palestinian because when Samson put the
Philistine,
he said, "Lord, I want to die with the Palestine."
Philistine with a PH.
Exactly.
Not Palestine.
So
not a PH.
Do not forget those Jews were oppressed for hundreds of years. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. I just want to remind you all that I'm a woman. Back in those days, I wasn't allowed to read or learn or speak, so I just sit back. Thank you very much, caller.
I just want to mention that Philistine and Palestine are two different places and two different people.
Yeah, I got you.
So we're having some biblical, you know, historical kind of biblical views for it. But if you look at the anti-Zionist view from a Jewish perspective, there are legitimate groups of Orthodox Jews. This is what they say. They say the establishment of the State of Israel as an anti-Messianic act conceived and born in sin. Don't quote me. I'm quoting... This is from
their
interpretation from the Torah.
Quote,
"The establishment of the State of Israel as an anti-messianic act conceived and born from sin, and the very legitimacy of the collective political return to the Holy Land." So we have so many different perspectives.
Coming at it.
And so you have to look at it somewhere in the middle, right? And I'd like to take a centrist position, but I also like to look at the history and go back.
Yeah.
And they're grievances on both sides, but there's one oppressed. You know, there's international law that we should be observing, right? When international law says that there is an illegal occupation, it should be reversed, right? Just like Russia is illegally occupying, and the whole international community is against Russia to get out of eastern Ukraine and go back to those pre-2022 borders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but you have these same situations all over the world, and the way it's framed. So remember in Hong Kong, the protesters were throwing rocks against the police with the Chinese
right,
laws.
Because the 100-year lease had ended and China said, we come for our things.
They were considered heroes, right?
Yeah.
You know, when the Myanmar, or previously known as Burma, when the citizens throw rocks at the tanks of the repressive regime there, they're considered heroes. When the Iranian people revolt against the theocracy, they're heroes. But when a Palestinian 12-year-old boy throws a Israeli IDF tank, he's called a terrorist.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, we should be fair and we should call things, you know, things should be equal, you know.
Absolutely. Producer, let's go to that call. Caller, give me a moment. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
I'm fine, it's very nice, sir.
Hi, good, thank you.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
It seems like we're trying to read things to please ourselves. We're talking about the reality of life. We're talking about people after 1947, after World War II, where the United Nations, Europe, England, and America, and Canada, and all of them, decided that they were going to send the Jews into the land of the Palestine. They went into a land of the Palestinians, where they were put there to sort of get together. That's where the world decided to send the Jews. The Jews grew and grew in population. They took over the land of the Palestinians. They are on doggone land that doesn't belong to them.
Yes, Parker.
And I can say that the same thing. We got 11 to 12 million people in Haiti just south of us. And they come in here to invade our country. Do you think they really come in here to love us? They come...
Sparky, I put it... I hang it up. Dear Bahamas, I hang up the phone on Sparky, okay?
Why are you hanging up the phone on Sparky?
Because the temperature was rising, Mr. Newry.
It called outside.
Is there something? God bless DPL, because... Cold outside.
But I wish we could see everything with our biases, you know, or with the biases that are created if we watch too much MSN and MSNBC.
Absolutely. The point I wanted to make when I say I hang up on Sparky, I letting the world know that I did it, right, is that Haiti being occupied. I don't want to put too much time on it to analyze what you were saying, but Haiti is also being occupied, right? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Okay, we lost that caller. Let me get to the text. Mr. Palmer, Aaron, I think you should first pronounce your stance and position. Are you anti-Semitic or are you pro-Palestine? The listening public needs to know. Now, that text came in well before 52 pointed out that anti-Semitic would be to be opposed to all of the people that speak that particular language, which means that I would be opposed to the Jews and the Palestinian people. I just want to throw that on the table.
If you look at the history, it's very interesting because a lot of the Jews who, you know, when going back 2000, many of them converted to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So these are actually their Jewish brothers. But the majority of the Israelis that are living there now are Ashkenazi Jews that haven't been there for 60 generations. And there is some question as to whether they legitimately have roots to that part
to that
of the
land.
World. Very different Semitic people who live in that area. So that,
absolutely.
I don't know the answer to that, but I'm saying this is what people...
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Good morning, caller. Okay.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, ma'am. How you doing?
I just wanted
to make a brief statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Palestine and...
Turn your radio down a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Hey, Mr. Nuri was saying... Palestine and
Philistines
is the two different people. They just have a different pronunciation, like how you say Harbor Island and Harbor Island. That's all of it.
Okay.
They're the same people.
All right, I'm going to let Mr. Newry respond. She's saying that they are the same people. It's just like how people say Thompson and Thompson.
Thank
and
you.
Two different
tomato,
words.
Tomato.
Yeah, I got you. That's the position she's putting on the table. Thank you, ma'am.
Two different set of people. One people from up north. And one people from down south.
Okay.
Palestine is Palestine, you know, and Philistines is a Philistines.
All right. Well, now, Mr. Newry, you have now been invited. We're going to have a conversation about that. We're going to invite a couple people in. and talk about that biblical history.
I don't think they are the same.
Yeah.
Although they have roots in the same land. You know, yeah. The Philistines originally, they occupied Canaan. There's a distinction, so I don't think you can say they're both the same people.
All right. We're going to get to you in a second, caller. I don't know how Christians, it's a text, I don't know how Christians can support Israel when Messiah. These Bahamians need to do a deep dive into Judaism and how they oppose Christianity. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Yes, the lady is correct, and the gentleman who called a couple of calls before is correct. Missionary is wrong.
Okay.
The area contained the five cities. Now, the whole of the country was later called the Palestine. Was later called Palestine by the Greeks.
Okay.
So it's one country. It's
okay.
The same thing. Palestine's name was changed into the Palestine. So it's all one people.
Okay. Thank you.
So the area that is known as Palestine currently encompasses the West Bank. Which is where those illegal settlements are, Gaza and East Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's considered, and it's been shrinking. If you look at the map since 1947.
It's
so
almost disappeared.
It's almost doesn't exist anymore.
All right, couple more texts. I would like to interject. This war, and this is from the top of the show, this war don't make sense. And what also makes no sense is that people are reckless enough, he used the word stupid, I can say reckless enough to travel to Israel knowing there's a war going on. Now, the Bahamians were there before this conflict erupted. I would say that anybody traveling to Israel must be aware of the risk, right, of this possibly set off. Producer, let's go to the caller quickly.
Israelis are leaving
out
of that zone because it's just too risky now.
Yeah. Good morning, caller.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
This is Aaron Green show number.
Yes, sir. You're on the clock with Aaron Green.
Oh, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You still there?
Hi.
Hi. Yes, you're on the clock with Aaron Green.
Yeah, I just want to make a statement and then I'll hang up and wait for the answer.
Yes, sir.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Are these Jews the original Jews? And if yes or no, this war that continues to happen every so often, like they say, it's a financial thing. So you have people who are not the original people from this land fighting against each other, continually fighting over a money situation. Who are the original people from this land? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you much.
Absolutely. Before you called in, caller, Mr. Palmer gave us a bit of information about the dynamics people.
Let's go back to 1947, I think the year before Israel was created, the State of Israel was created. If you'd come to the area known as Palestine, you'd have seen Jews and Arabs living in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It was a prosperous place, particularly up north in Jaffa. They had verdant orange groves, et cetera. And so had influx of Ashkenazi Jews after the Second World War that changed the balance, and that's when the tension started, and it just escalated from there.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mr. Palmer. I got the war doesn't make any sense. All they're trying to do is agitate a World War III, but no one into that. The war will eventually cause shipping and on hold. Backups, Christmas around the corner,
oil,
gas might go up. Producer, let's take the call at 3 seconds. The European Ashkenazi Zionists that call themselves Jews have zero rights to that land. That's a text. Another text. The lady was not correct. Palestine and Philistine are two separate nouns. The Philistine was one of the ethnic groups living in what is modern-day Palestine. Two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, you got 30 seconds.
Well, sorry for calling back. I wish if you could have called and re-explained. But listen, a man have a right to defend himself, whether he teach you land or not like that. In 67, I understand with the Six-Day War, the Israelis won that war, and they also acquired some more land. But then they turned around and they gave it back. And then they withdrew their troops from Palestine. And then you got to remember Aaron Green and Palmer. The Germans killed 6 million of them people, man. Them people have a right to defend themselves.
Let me ask you a question. That
go ahead,
man. Good, 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 good. You know how many? You know how many people King Leopold II of Belgium killed?
20 million.
Like I said, you guys call 52 to ask him that. I
love you.
All right.
I just relive in this place and love my brother. Okay? Thank you.
Yeah, so there were several mistakes in that last, but we've already been through it. I don't want to reiterate myself.
But
it is an occupation. It's illegal under international law. There's been a continuous land grab for the last 75 years and is continuing under Netanyahu and the Likud party.
Here's what I do know. I do know if the world cannot see straight through the lens of the Israeli-Palestine conflict, then we will never be able to reconcile with what has happened to Africans in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We will never. Because while we sit here and concern ourselves about the possible genocide of Palestinians, I will tell you that if we took the Ma'afa, if we took the genocide of Africans seriously, if we regarded what had been done mm-hmm. to them and committed ourselves to ensuring that it could never, ever, ever happen again
mm-hmm.
to another group of people,
the situation wouldn't be happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, of course, every person and every country has the right to defend itself, and we will never question they are occupying Palestine but claiming that they are defending themselves. This conversation is not over. There has been no judgment made. We have not determined who is wrong or right, but what we have committed to is that we must live on this planet together, and we must love and respect one another.
Amen.
Thank you to all of my callers in Texas this morning. Thank you very much, Mr. Palmer. And Mr. Nuri, thank you once again.
Pleasure.
You guys have a great day, and stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.